Hey everyone, welcome to episode 103. Tonight we're talking about how if you can't connect it to Christ, then it's not good enough. So the real question is this: what does it take to make the gospel come to life? If you are struggling with what you believe, or if you do believe but you want to feel the truth on a deeper level, or even if you are experienced in your faith and you want to deepen your relationship with Christ even further, what steps can all of us take to not just bring the gospel to life, but to cause the gospel to bring life into us? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Brian Robbins, and welcome to Bringing the Gospel to Life. Okie dokie, so I am back and proud to report that the talk went very well today. And I just kind of have something to say about, what a stupid comment. I was like, I have something to say about the gospel because that's what this podcast is about. Anyway, I have something to say again, and you guys kind of know the principle that I run kind of my whole sharing philosophy off of, that never am I in a position to tell other people what to do or think, but that the purpose of a storyteller, I've shared this quote a million times, but I'm going to share it one more time, is not to tell people what to think, but to give them questions to think about. Too often we forget that. And so with this episode today, that's what I'm doing. I'm not telling anyone anything. I'm just telling you a story that got me really thinking about something and that really caused a change and a shift in me. And I hope it will do the same for you. So, you know, when this is what you're doing 24/7 for your job and for church and stuff, like, you know, learning to teach the gospel will really becomes a very important goal in your life, because there's nothing more frustrating than doing a job or doing things on Sundays that, like, you're just like, it's just frustrating to do things consistently that you're not good at. So one of the things I've always really wanted to really do is become a powerful teacher of the gospel, and I'm working on it. But about, let's see, it was probably about 8 months ago, I went to a training meeting where there was a secret revealed to me that has forever impacted the way that I've always both studied and taught the gospel. And the secret was from this man whose name was Dave Durfee. Now, we were doing this training course, and so once a week we would go up to Mountain View Seminary in Orem, and we would have our leaders would pick someone from around here or some famous person to come down from like Salt Lake or something to come teach us about a topic. And so this week was the very last week of the course, and so it was kind of funny. You know how in high school, like, or just school in general, like, students have a certain amount of absences, and if they really behave themselves like for the entire semester, then the last couple weeks, like, you hardly see them because they know they can get away with having their absences. So that's kind of how this class was, because everyone had been attending for the whole throughout the entire course. Like, on the last day I showed up and there was like nobody there because they knew that they could afford to miss one, which is a real shame because they really missed out. But that lesson was about official declaration 2, which is about the priesthood. And I think it's one of those topics that maybe people are like, I kind of know that, or yeah, I'm not really that interested in it, so I'm not going to come. But this was one of the most amazing lessons of my entire life. And so I walked in, and there's maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 of us or so, and I was being taught by this guy whose name is Dave Durfee. Now, I didn't know who he is, but he's the director of the Institute at UVU. And this guy is one of those people that, you know, when they stand up, like, you know how you can just feel the goodness just pouring off him? Like, that was my experience. He just stood up and he started talking. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this dude is like perfect. I love him. And he started off and he introduced a concept and a quote that was from him. I don't think he pulled this from anywhere else, and I don't have it word for word, but I'll just tell you what I heard, not necessarily what he said. And I didn't listen for the rest of the lesson because this impacted me at such a deep level that and made such an impact in the future that, like, whatever else he said, I didn't listen to, because this was the most important thing that I'd been looking for. And so as he stands up and he talks, he says, so do you guys know what we're talking about today? And he says, and we raise our hand and we're like, yeah, we're talking about official declaration 2. And he said, no. So I want to try again. What are we talking about today? And we're like, I thought that's what we were talking about. And he's like, see, this is our problem. Is he says, you think today is about official declaration too, and not about our Savior Jesus Christ. And we were all, you know, as a whole bunch of seminary teachers, we're like, okay, yeah, okay, we get it. And he's like, no, really, you need to understand this quote. And then he pulled up a quote from himself, which was like really funny, but I'm so glad he did, because he's on the board. He had this quote, and I'll never forget this quote. And he said the following. He said, if you can't connect what you're teaching to the Savior, to the atonement, to the restoration of the gospel, and to the plan of salvation, then either you shouldn't be teaching it or you don't understand it yet. I'll say it one more time. If you can't connect what you are teaching to the Savior, to his atonement, to the restoration of the gospel, and to the plan of salvation, then you shouldn't be teaching it or you don't understand it yet. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Like, everything about that, like, oh my gosh, that was so powerful. And so I learned that 8 months ago, and ever since then, that's all I've tried to do. Like, every single lesson I've ever thought, or any thought I've ever tried to do, I've been like, if I can't really connect this to the Savior, then I don't really understand it. And today I had a little bit of a further understanding of this topic, and that's really what I wanted to share with you. So that's where I started. But today, as I was giving the talk, it was so refreshing to be able to stand up there to people and say, you know, I'm not coming up here to tell you what I think you guys should do. I don't have any interest in that. All I'm going to do is talk about Christ and give you something to think about him. And if you feel inspired to do something because you learned something about him, then good for you. Like, it was so nice to like free myself from the obligation to feel like I needed to tell people what to do. Because I think a lot of times when we're teaching lessons or we're sharing the gospel, we're giving gospel thoughts or participating or we're doing whatever, like, I think that's what we feel like we have to do. But that was never our job. That's not what the scripture's job is. That's not what the prophet's job is. Like, that's not what our leader's job is. Their only job is to testify of Christ, and then the Spirit will tell us what to do from that. Now, a lot of times I think prophets and leaders get inspiration to tell us specifics, and I think that they should do that. But I think in general, even Joseph Smith got this. He, when people asked him his like philosophy on being a prophet, he said, I teach the people general principles and then they govern themselves. And over time, that has come and gone, I think, in the leaders of our church, both like big leaders, like apostles and prophets, and local leaders. But, and there's different times that, you know, some people need to be corrected, and sometimes people just need to be taught general principles. Anyway, I'm just saying that was such a freeing concept. And to really drill this home, I read a essay for my master's program the other day, and it said this line, and this captured everything I want to say tonight. So there's this guy, his name is Arthur Henry King, an English professor at Brigham Young University, who wrote the following. We symbolize the good in a real individual, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is a man, not a principle, but a man who includes all principles. A perfect man is what we are given to follow, not a bunch of rules or a bunch of principles. What we have to do is study the Gospels, see what Christ did, and try to identify ourselves with what he did. It is because we catch the spirit of the Master, and because we have soaked ourselves in his gospel, that then we know what it is that we must do. And that, oh, that's like so powerful. Like, I think a lot of times people use the argument when they're giving lessons or they're giving thoughts, and they're like, well, because this prophet did this, we should too. Or because this is a really good like phrase or a good thought, we should all have to do what it says, or we should think the same way. Or because our leader said something, we should think the same way. And that is just not true. Like, there is no reason why just because someone gives a good thought or because someone else who's we look up to does something, that is not a reason for why we should do it. And people will use this all the time. They're like, because Nephi did this, we should do this. Or because Alma did this, we should do this. Or because President Nelson's doing this, we should do this. And I personally don't buy that. And maybe that's going to upset other people, but I don't buy that. Like, just because someone else good does something doesn't mean I should be doing it. Just a couple of examples. Okay. I've got a good friend of mine who's really into fitness, but just because he is so good at being at doing fitness at like an extremely high level every day doesn't mean I should be doing it too. I have another friend who is really good at art, and just because he's really good at expressing himself in art, that doesn't mean I should do it too. And just because, you know, we have political leaders who earn a lot of money throughout their life and then they use their money to run for office and they do it totally out of their own pocket so they can serve our country, like, that doesn't mean I should do it either. And like, that's not a good argument for why we should do things. But if every single aspect of what we do in the gospel is to stop talking about what people should do and start talking about what the Savior did. Like, do you see that difference? Like, the scriptures aren't about, and I know I've talked about this before, but I believe in this, and like, I felt it while I was talking today, like, and I felt people resonated with, like, they appreciated so much, and several people told me this after, they appreciated so much that the scriptures, and I was not using them to tell them what they should do, but instead talk about what the Savior did. And to let them think about what he did on a deeper level, and then let that change their life however it decides to change their lives for them. And so I believe that. Now, I know with Come Follow Me's and with families, with little kids and people who are just learning the gospel and don't necessarily have the eyes to see and who are developing those eyes to see in every scripture story, how does this connect to Christ? Like, that's a really tall task. And when I know when I teach this to students, they feel overwhelmed about it. But I'm not telling everyone that they have to do it right now. Remember, like, this isn't a story where I'm telling people what to do. I'm saying once upon a time, I went to a meeting where Brother Dave Durfee taught me that, and I've been trying to do that for my entire life, and it's completely impacted me. Because think about it. When the Christ was on the earth, what is all that he taught? All he taught was about how good his Father was. Like, that's all he did. And because he taught how good his Father was and about his important role as the Savior, people followed him. Very rarely do we see him giving very specific instructions about what specific individuals should do. He didn't tell people what to do. He gave them questions to think about. Now, there are some times he did. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, as a general principle, he also testified of what he did or was going to do, and of what his Father did, and he let that change people. And for that exact reason, I know that that's all we have to do, and it's what we should do. And so, again, something to think about. I don't think you ever have to do anything unless, or think anything, or do anything, unless you can find direct reasons why the Savior either did exactly what you're talking about, or you can clarify that he has given you spiritual promptings for you to do it for yourself. And other lessons that are just around moral ethics and about shoulds and shouldn'ts, like, that's just not enough to inspire discipleship in people. It's just not. As someone who's tried, I can tell you that. Like, anyway, so that's my 2 cents for the night. And if I said something that didn't quite make sense or I said it wrong, like, I hope you understand the spirit of what I'm saying here. Like, that experience with Brother Durfee a long time ago, and that quote from Arthur Henry King, like, when we catch the spirit of the master and then we will want to do what he did, I think that's how we want to be guided as humans. And I've just seen that over and over, and I testify that it's true because that's exactly how Christ did it when he was here. So, okay. All done. Thank you. Have a good night. Please share this with someone who might need it, and let me know what your thoughts are as always, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.